Oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas is now in session pursuant to adjournment.
Thank you. Be seated. This morning, the court has more than three matters, but consolidated into three matters on its oral submission docket. In the order in which they will be presented, they are as follows. John O. Guillory versus Port of Houston Authority from Harris County. Ex parte Keith Tucci and ex parte Randall Terry, Patrick Mahoney, Wendy Wright, Flip Benham, Joseph Slovenic, and Bob Jewett. Original habeas corpus proceedings. And Fiberboard Corporation and others versus Reuben S. Poole and others from Rusk County. The court has allotted different periods of time for each of these arguments to be made. Counsel have been advised of those allocations of time. The court will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each of these causes, but will complete the submission of all three causes before its noon recess. These arguments are being recorded on audio tape for the convenience of the court, and portions of these arguments will be recorded by videotape. You may make application with the clerk of the court to hear the audio tapes if you so desire. Counsel, in all these causes, are asked to remain in the vicinity of the courtroom so that we may reach your matter without delay. But if you are in the second or third matters, you may step out of the courtroom if you so desire prior to your cause being reached. The court is now ready to hear argument from petitioner in Guillory versus Port of Houston Authority.
May it please the court, Mr. Jim Cronzer will present argument for petitioner, reserving 5 minutes for rebuttal.
I do have one other announcement. Judges Hightower and Gamage are not sitting today for oral argument, but they will participate in the deliberation and decision of all of these cards. Excuse me. No.
May it please the court, Ms. Hogan, and my co-counsel, Mr. Rapp, and Mr. Thomas, for whom I'm very grateful to give me an opportunity to argue about something that's been a part of my life for the last quarter of a century, and that's tort claims. And I appreciate their courage in letting me present this matter to the court. To begin with, we feel that on April 29th of this year, the court set the table for what the issue is in your Delaney versus University of Houston case, in which Ms. Delaney made the same contention that we made, namely this court should revisit the Bennett versus Brown rule, and it was posited by Mr. Justice Hecht for the court, thusly in Delaney. Her other argument is that the university's actions of which she complains were proprietary, not governmental, and therefore not protected by immunity. When the university acts as a private rather than a public entity, Delaney contends it must be liable as a private entity. The university challenges both these arguments. It contends that its actions, like the state's, are always governmental and never proprietary, and that it is immune from liability for all breaches, contract torts, etc. That legal dogma came to the judicial system in 1954 in Bennett versus Brown County Navigation District, in which a little gal drowned in one of their canals. And Justice Griffin, speaking for the majority, said that various districts and units of government created under Articles 59 or 59A of the Constitution were immune, period. It did not make any difference whether the function was proprietary, governmental, or whatever. In that case, was followed, of course we say blindly, without any consideration of the true factors that should make for liability of units of government. The dissent by Justices Walker, I mean, Calvert and Wisdom, and, I mean, not Wisdom, excuse me, Justice Calvert, Smith, and Wilson. The court may well have already reread that case again, but we commend it because, frankly, for us to prevail, and we believe we should prevail very strongly, the court must declare that what we believe to have been dictum in Bennett does not fairly represent the liability or law relating to governments. In this case, there's absolutely no doubt, none, that the function renting defective vehicles was a proprietary function and is one historically and in every other jurisdiction in this country so far as we can find. It is not just an incidental function of the port. Would you put the... Their annual statement... Let's look the other first. I got it. I don't know if the court can see it. Mr. Thomas, is it...
Was this placed in evidence?
Beg pardon?
Was this document in evidence?
Yes, below, yes. In the motion for exception. It's in the record. It's not something we just brought up today. But you can see that they actually, in their annual statement, carry an item of renting equipment. In this instance, not only Mr. Guillory, but approximately 40 other people in a reasonably related period of time to this accident were also hurt by defective equipment rented by the Port Commission for a profit. From the inception of the adoption by the courts in Texas of sovereign immunity, it sought to chip away through attacking municipal functions that were proprietary. And under any test, this is a proprietary function and they don't argue to the contrary. They argue what you posited in Delaney, that a unit of government other than a city can do no wrong.
Is it possible to find a waiver of immunity or proprietary actions of this nature in the Tort Claims Act?
Well, Your Honor, the Tort Claims Act did not purport to deal with proprietary functions of any unit of government other than municipalities. As a matter of fact, when it was passed, 058, it precisely said it doesn't apply to functions of municipality, proprietary functions. Now, that was emasculated in 1987, and I hope to have time to talk about that. But if, Your Honor, please, at the inception, point 101-003 of the Tort Claims Act from the beginning, 70, expressly reserved any actions, the legal remedies that may otherwise develop or be developed. That was intended, and I guess I better not testify, but that was intended, and you can find it in the history of the Act, to preserve this court's right to make decisions on this very issue, whether a true proprietary function, and it was not repealed in 87. 101-003 is still the law, and it's the law in the Tort Claims Act. To argue again, as has been argued before, that times have changed, which the court can clearly recognize, the increase of municipal functions by other units of government has accelerated to the pace shown on their own financial statements. It is virtually in all of its aspects of port doing nothing but proprietary functions. There's nothing in the Article 59 and 59A of the Constitution. There is nothing in the Tort Claims Act then or now purporting to limit the rights of persons to sue units of government that are performing profit-making ventures that could as well be done, as the court puts it, in Delaney, by external profit-making interests, and they are clearly in that business.
Counsel, let me make sure I understand your argument. If the city of Houston had owned the port, then you would not have had the cap placed on you under prevailing law as of 1984. Is that correct?
Well, Judge, I don't have a time I'd like to, but let me tell you what happened. In 1987, while Rome slept, I'm talking about the public being Rome, the lobbyists for the cities and the municipalities, that's what they went and got a constitutional amendment passed, which I don't know if this court knows about it. I didn't, with all my interest in it, and reclassified these various functions that were developed by this court to have been proprietary in nature, if you please, and now reclassified them as governmental functions in 87. Now, they don't, that statute doesn't apply to this particular case.
Well, my question was in 84, and I just want to make sure I understand. If the port had been owned by the city, then the cap would not have been imposed.
No question, that's correct, sir.
If the port was totally an entity of the state, if the port was owned by the state of Texas, would the cap be imposed under the Tort Claim Act?
No, because the Tort Claim Act speaks to the state or any other unit of government. It doesn't talk about just cities or counties or navigation districts. It talks about them all. Now, in Dupierre, the court dealt with this problem under the concept of a governmental function by the state. In that case, people ran into a drawbridge, a state-operated drawbridge. And the court, for that reason, held that the immunity of the state still existed. In that case, because one, it was not personal injury, no injury case, and B, it was a governmental function. And to be more specific, the court did refer to .025 of the act as it was then done, and to insulate against any further immunity. Now, we say that Dupierre is, so far as Mr. Guillory is concerned, this is clearly a navigable injury, and it is a case in which there is a clear expression by the Congress of an intent to make the state tort immunities not available anymore. They held, as you know, in Hilton, the United States did in December of last year, in the Hilton versus South Carolina, the court held that a state-operated railroad was no longer immune from suit because of the language of the FELA. And it's, in the course of that opinion, the court said the same thing is true about Jones Act, that the broad language in those two statutes manifested a clear intention that employees hurt under those circumstances had their full rights and remedies, and no longer was there any immunity available. We say that Section 933 of the Long-Term and Harbor Workers' Compensation Act is even more complicated, and it even manifests a more clear intent to let the parties involved in navigable accidents have their full remedy. We've left with the court copies of 933, and so it is. On the limited basis of immunity, sovereign immunity under the federal law, we don't think that exists either, but we're so important that the court concentrate on the terrible error. And I'm not the only one who's ever called it that. In the classification in Stevens, in Brown, where Brown County, that no unit of government can perform a proprietary function. It's not in the Constitution anywhere. It's not in the Tort Claims Act. And we say the court is riding on a clean slate there.
In several instances, we have said that the waiver of immunity is a question for the legislature. Do we have to retreat from that language to hold the petition?
Well, in fact, the court cited that particular clause of the act, the Tort Claims Act, in Dapiera. I don't know how you pronounce that, Dapiera, but I think that's close. And the, but what we say, Judge, if that were so, then it would amount to the legislature emasculating and freezing in concrete erroneous common law rulings of this court that have been used to develop not only this immunity, but other immunities, or take them away. And there's nothing said in the Tort Claims Act that there would be or has to be a waiver applied to other units of government. If the court will wipe out, as we think it should, the language of Brown, then that ends that inquiry. We're not against the legislature or this court classifying governmental functions as being protected. But we are a pure proprietary functions of not having one thing to do with the continued protection. And it was not the purpose of the act to provide immunity for units of government other than cities.
Any other questions?
Mr. Cronzer, if the legislature chose to do so, could they classify this particular activity by the court authority as being governmental?
Well, I'm going to reduce that to what the legislature has now done. And it doesn't apply to this case because, A, the legislative act on its face does not apply to prior occurrences. But in 87, pursue a constitutional amendment about the power of the legislature to reclassify functions, they went through, of course, familiar with lobbying activities that don't get much public light. In every single one of this court's immunities, every single one, or non-immunities, on sovereign immunity based on proprietary functions, they wiped out.
And that's true. That's true not just of municipalities, but of these.
No, they only did it as purported to do it, Judge, as of municipalities in the constitutional amendment.
So
of
the decision we made here would be good law and would have effect as to any accident that would happen right now at the Port of Houston Authority or a similar governmental, quasi-governmental entity.
It's so far as it affects cities and municipalities, the ultimate equal protection question is just not before you at this time. And surprisingly, they didn't wipe out the function here, renting equipment for a profit. That's the only one they didn't get, as far as I know.
You mean the city, if they rent equipment for a profit, a municipality, that's still a proprietary function?
And that would be proprietary, and it's not affected by the amendment in 1987.
So if Mr. Guillory's accident happened today, he would be in the same position legally that he is with it happening back before 1987?
Yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor.
The point of my question, Mr. Cronzer, and it wasn't clear, is that there's some tension between the areas of activity of this court and the legislature when it comes to the doctrine of sovereign immunity, which is a common law doctrine. we've acknowledged that we will abide the legislature's limited waiver, but by identifying a particular activity as governmental, as long as we're going to respect the legislature's limitation on waivers of governmental immunity, would that control the case, or could we merely disagree and say it's truly proprietary?
Judge, we say that the waiver provisions of the Tort Claims Act don't reach proprietary functions of a non-city, period, and they don't purport to. But you did understate the case when you say there's some fraction between what this court announces and what the legislature says. When you can go through the history of the act and see how meticulous this court has been since Poznanski in building what is the difference between the governmental and proprietary function, and they just wiped it out as the cities in one fell swoop without any regard to what really happened. And so it is, we say that the statute itself does not apply to this act, and the function that we're dealing with here doesn't apply to this act.
Any other questions?
Thank you for giving me the time.
The court is ready to hear arguments from respondent.
May I please report? This is Jennifer Brush Hogan, which is an argument for respondent.
May it please the court, I'm Jennifer Hogan, and I'm here on behalf of the Port of Houston Authority. In response to the questions that were asked from the bench and directed to Mr. Pronzer, let me say, first of all, should this court accept Mr. Guillory's argument in this case and reject the port's claim of limited liability under the Tort Claims Act, there is no question but what this court would have to overrule or disapprove of more than 100 years of Texas jurisprudence, including a large number of Supreme Court decisions. Certainly this court has on numerous occasions itself said, and on even more occasions, writ denied or writ refused NRE, lower courts of appeals decisions in this case, which specifically hold that matters of sovereign immunity are addressed to the legislature. It is for the legislature to determine the waiver and the extent of the waiver of sovereign immunity, and for the legislature only, and that this court will not enter into that activity. The Tort Claims Act defines a governmental unit to include the Port of Authority, the Houston Port Authority. It also includes governmental units to include the state, all of its agencies, all agencies created under Article 16, Section 59, which includes the Port Authority, to include municipalities, to include junior college districts, to include counties. If this court is to accept the proprietary function, governmental function distinction that Mr. Guillory asks this court to engraft and to recognize today, that exception, as Mr. Pronzer, I think, accepts, is not going to apply only to the Port of Houston Authority. There is no basis on which this court can isolate the Port of Houston Authority out. That distinction is going to control in cases brought against the state, in cases brought against the Department of Public Transportation, in cases brought against any junior college districts, in cases brought against any hospital district, in cases brought against any governmental entity in the state of Texas.
Other than, I take it, cities and municipalities who would be covered by the 87th Amendment?
I think that's correct, Your Honor. Municipalities are certainly, under the Tort Claims Act and by common law, in a different category. The legislature has kept them in a separate category in enacting and continuing to recodify and amend the Tort Claims Act. If we were to put a flow sheet or an income statement or anything like that up here for the state of Texas, for the State Department of Highways and Transportation, for the Harris County Hospital District, for any governmental unit, I assure you there are going to be functions up there which Mr. Guillory or anyone else is going to argue come within some proprietary function. The state of Texas and the legislature particularly has never recognized a functional approach to immunity, and it shouldn't. It is the origin and the creation of the entity which determine its immunity under the Tort Claims Act. Let me suggest, first of all, as well, that it is the Tort Claims Act which is the determining factor here. Mr. Guillory's arguments are virtually identical to the arguments that have been made before this court regarding the Wrongful Death Act in cases including Moreno versus Sterling Drug. It is the same type of argument that a common law doctrine existed which precluded liability. The doctrine precluding liability of sovereign immunity as against governmental units. And in the Wrongful Death Act, it was the common law doctrine which provided that no one could recover after death. The legislature has legislatively abrogated those common law doctrines and provided a cause of action which did not exist at common law. The legislature has provided a cause of action for Mr. Guillory against the Port of Houston Authority, and it has limited that cause of action. The legislature provides a wrongful death cause of action, and it has limited that cause of action. Just as those limitations under the Wrongful Death Act are constitutional and are binding upon this court, those limitations are constitutional when they in regard to the liability of governmental units. This court
sovereign immunity, though, is a common law doctrine which the Texas Tort Claims Act purports to waive in some limited extent. It doesn't. It's not a grant of the right to sue. It's a waiver of immunity. Doesn't that affect the argument?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe that it does affect the argument, because while the language may be phrased in terms of waiver, there is no doubt this suit was brought under the Texas Tort Claims Act. What the Texas Tort Claims Act does is provide a cause of action which did not exist at common law. Certainly the language says we waive judicial governmental immunity to the extent of the limitations of this act and as provided under the sections of this act. What that act does is create a cause of action which Mr. Guillory did not have at common law. And at the time that the Tort Claims Act was enacted, the legislature was certainly aware both of the Posenisky case that was decided by this case, by this court in 1884, which first allowed the doctrine that municipalities perform proprietary functions and did not extend that doctrine to any other entity. It was certainly aware of this court's decision in Bennett versus Brown County Water Improvement District, which specifically held that counties did not perform municipal proprietary functions, and also that other units of government, such as the Water Improvement District, which and the Port of Houston, which was formed under that exact same second constitution, did not perform proprietary functions, and the legislature chose not to make a functional determination. It certainly could have said any proprietary function performed by any governmental unit is not one that is going to which all sovereign immunity is waived. It did not do so.
Does the record reflect how long the port has been involved in the truck rental business?
No, Your Honor. I don't believe that it does.
Under the approach that you're suggesting, if the port decides to expand its operations and go into competition with Avis or maybe Rent-A-Wreck out at Hobby Airport, the same logic would apply. They would enjoy the protection that you say they should be afforded here.
Your Honor, I've tried to give a great deal of thought to that analogy. I think that while that question is not one that's before this court at this time, I think that as the law stands now, that the port, so long as it is in effect acting within its constitutional and statutory authority, that its actions are going to be exempt from liability other than to the extent of the Tort Claims Act. Just as the state of Texas could, by the same analogy, start renting cars, Rent-A-Wreck, and go into competition with Avis and be protected.
So they can rent cars at Hobby with no brakes or some brakes or other mechanical defects, and you feel this court can do nothing about it if it's a legislative function to deal with that problem?
I think, yes, Your Honor, it is a legislative function to deal with that problem. I think that this court has said so, and that's the whole That is the whole of sovereign immunity. If the state wishes to take on some function, then the state is responsible for the immunity that attaches. Certainly this court has faced on numerous occasions bad fact situations and has still continued to uphold sovereign immunity. I don't think that this case that you're faced with today suggests any horrible fact situation which this court needs to take some action to correct.
And does the same thing apply with reference to the acquisition of the Port of Houston, by the Port of Houston, of the Port of Galveston?
Your Honor, the Port of Galveston is, as suggested here, a creation of the city of Galveston. It does not stand on the same footing as the Port of Houston.
So you have one law applying in Galveston and one in Houston?
You have one law applying to municipalities, and you have one law applying to entities which are created under Article 16, Section 59 of the Constitution. Judge, we have the same problem, the identical problem, if you look at the State Department of Public Highways and Transportation and the City of Houston. Both of those entities are responsible for the maintenance of streets, highways, roads, for the construction of streets and highways and roads. The State Department of Highways and Public Transportation, under the Tort Claims Act, has limited liability as an agency of the state. The City of Houston, for the same activities, has unlimited liability if those activities are classified as proprietary. This functional proprietary distinction will take you only to the place where all of sovereign immunity is abolished. The Tort Claims Act has no meaning because we are going to continue to determine simply on some basis of a functional test. Every single case is going to be determined on whether a factual determination of whether it's something that only the state performs, which the state and private agencies perform, only other private agencies perform. Education, public education is going to be subject to the same sorts of analysis. Private schools, certainly they do a far better job of educating, a number of people would say. If we're going to look at it from a functional standpoint, then we've lost everything that the Tort Claims Act says. And I suggest to you, Judge, that it was never the intention of the legislature to abolish, in its entirety, judicial governmental immunity. And this court should not go to that place. It has consistently deferred to the legislature's determination. Since the enactment of the Tort Claims Act, it is true that the legislature has amended it. In every one of those amendments, the legislature has basically reacted to what this court and other courts in Texas have done and either gone up or down on it. It has restricted rather than enlarged the claims that can be brought against agencies of the state and subdivisions of the government. And I think that is, as this court has said, the purpose of the legislature. And those questions are for the legislature to determine. Mr. Guillory's argument suggests that in some way equal protection is an issue in this case, and I would suggest that it is not. Just as we have said, just as I have suggested, under the Wrongful Death Act, there is no equal protection problem. There is no question but what the Port of Houston Authority was immune at common law from all suits. What the legislature has done is provide Mr. Guillory with a remedy which he did not have at common law. And it has limited the port's liability in those suits to $100,000 per person. Certainly that has a rational basis in the law and as this court requires to meet the equal protection challenge. And that rational basis is to protect the government from claims, from the risk of burdensome claims. And that virtually every court in the United States has held is a legitimate basis for making these distinctions and for imposing limits of liability for units of government. Mr. Guillory in his argument today suggested that the constitutional amendment which allows the legislature to provide for or to determine which acts are proprietary for cities and which acts are governmental was something that was passed in the dead of night without anyone's knowledge. Certainly, I think this court is aware of the effect of a constitutional amendment, and it was done through the legislature. And what that certainly demonstrates is that there is no basis on which to suggest that the legislature has any intent to open up and enlarge the liability for the Port of Houston or for any other entities. The governmental proprietary distinction is not something that is recognized in the Tort Claims Act. It provides that as to municipalities, there is an exception for proprietary functions, and the chapter does not apply. There is no such exception that is in existence under the Tort Claims Act as to any other unit of government. The chapter applies and determines the liability, and regardless of whether the activity is categorized as governmental or proprietary, the Tort Claims Act provides and it sets the limit of $100,000. By constitution and by statute, the people of Texas and the legislature have determined the port's status as a governmental unit entitled to limited liability. This court should affirm the lower court's decision.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel.
Do I have any time left, Your Honor?
Mr. Marshall.
Mr. Prosser, could you clarify for me, are you asking us to engage in statutory construction of the Texas Tort Claims Act, or are you asking us to modify the common law of sovereign immunity?
What we're asking, Your Honor, is for the court to realize that the Tort Claims Act expressly did not seek to freeze this court's power in 1954. That you have continually, I don't want to speak to your duties, you all know those better than I would, but your powers and your rights to correct errors in the common law system.
So you would
now
say
you
it's
held,
the second.
In 47 you held that it isn't even substantive, the immunity. In Martin versus Shepherd, you held that it can be waived by not pleading it. And that was repeated at San Antonio Court in Davis versus San Antonio very recently. That it isn't a true immunity like charitable was, or like an espousal, and other immunities that you wiped out and put to bed. What is so egregious as we see it, and as persons in the position of people that are hurt, units of government are performing strictly functions for profit. And that is undisputed in this case. And Ms. Hogan was honest in telling the court, in response to the Justice Doggett's question, that means there is immunity from any wrong, however wrong the conduct is. And she minimizes what's happened here. In the relevant period of time to this accident, 40 accidents of this nature have happened from bad equipment that they reached.
To be fair, it's not an immunity, it's a limited waiver. It's limited rather than an unlimited waiver of the
Well, we are saying that the Tort Claims Act did not apply topside or bottom to functions of government that were purely proprietary, except as applied to cities. And as to that, if the court please, they even abolished the statute that you had they talked about.
Are there any cases prior to Bennett where a doctrine of proprietary function is recognized?
Yes, we believe, of course, Posnansky and Heigl, which are dissent, both opinions are lengthy. And Justice Calvert and Wilson and them discussed the case law as of that time and just sharply disagreed and held straight out that every function as proprietary, the unit of government performing it, should be held accountable. We don't deny that that would return the development of immunities as it has in other jurisdictions to a question of ascertaining, sometimes that was amorphous in the development of the immunities, is a truly proprietary function that can as well be done by private industry, or maybe better. As you know, the prison system is considering turning this business over to private industry. Are they going to be insulated for mismanagement? In response to...
The other side of the argument is, if they could turn it over to private industry, under a proprietary governmental distinction, would that make the state liable for mismanagement of the prison system?
Okay. I want to answer that straight. I believe they ought to be right now. I mean, not tomorrow or next day, but here we do have two things I'm going to emphasize before I sit down. The immunity problem that is supposed to have been approved sub non in the Tort Claims Act is traceable to Bennett versus Brown, the majority opinion in that case. And it still rides the range, even though never been repeated since, except as following in Lynch in some of these cases. We just believe very strongly when the function is as clear as it is here, and the conduct as egregious, and they're in a profit-making business, even to the point where Ms. Jennifer said if they organize a taxi cab company, they should be immune if they were under 59 and 59A. Those two constitutions of provision don't say one word about immunity or loss of immunity, and this is a function for which relief should be provided. And finally,
let me ask you a question. How do you respond to Ms. Hogan's argument that if we are to overrule Bennett versus Brown and its progeny and all that series of cases, that would be the end of the Texas Tort Claims Act?
Well, it won't, Your Honor, as applied to governmental functions. It will be to return the development of the common law to the judicial system on whether a function is a proprietary or not. And that is the reason the federal courts have now long since held the 11th Amendment is no longer applicable to protect that type of function. I mean, that's it. Thank you, though, for that.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument in the first cause. The court will now take a brief recess.
The audience